You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at our agricultural futures market is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon, Kurt.
Good afternoon there, Dave.
It was a very interesting day for the soybean market. We started off fairly strong, and at one point in the day, we gave back almost all of the gains. And then at the end of the day, we finished on the highs and actually extended the gains that we saw in the open outcry.
Yeah, what a roller coaster. And I think that's a sign, you know, the markets, you know, we've been in, and it's going to be that way for, you know, some time. But fairly selling, you know, just failure to see some buyers come forward here, liquidation. And as we started the 9:30 trade, traditionally there, we saw a little bit more enthusiasm once we got through the export inspection. So showed that we shipped out almost 40 million bushel, gave the trade a little bit more confidence. And there's some talk we'll see some Asian business here as we go through the week. When you look at Asia, China particularly, crush margins, they're quite profitable. So there's some ideas that they'll be back into the marketplace here when they can pencil out some fairly good returns buying U.S. beans, shipping them and crushing them and putting them in their pipeline in their country. Also, too, we saw, you know, some little drier forecast in the southern hemisphere. It's probably not enough to go sharply higher, but enough to give the market a little pause in here, if the idea of a little business coming our way, a little weather, and certainly the southern hemisphere, with the technical picture oversold, momentum indicators trying to turn up, it sort of alleviated the selling pressure and allowed the market to drift higher. Also, too, we started to see a good chunk of the rebalancing of some of these portfolios, and soybean meal had a real strong today also.
Yeah, you know, the January was up $10.30 on the close today. How come, as a ratio of the increase that we saw today, corn didn't do its typical, you know, 2-to-1 kind of thing with the beans?
Well, this is going to go from commodity to commodity. I think the emphasis was a little bit on the bean sector here. Corn news just kind of lacks. I know we did sell 102,000 tons of corn to unknown destination, but, you know, export inspections, we only shipped out 7 million bushels of corn. I know we're looking at holiday type of movement, and that will get better here as we go through the next couple weeks. But corn's just boring, you know. Nobody really wants to step forward and put on a corn position. A lot of the corn trade has been spread, led. Speculative interest is left to go to some other commodities. You know, like I mentioned before, you know, a lot more interest in buying guns versus corn. And I think it's a situation where we need to see the exports pick up here a little bit. And also, too, when we look at the overall world supply-demand balance sheet here, you know, we saw some competitiveness come in, such as feed wheat. So I think it's going to be probably more important to watch the corn and wheat market together versus the beans. I think you're going to see buying beans, selling corn, wheat. Buying beans, selling the corn and the wheat, then vice versa, buying the wheat and corn, selling the beans on the spread.
We do have those bevy of reports out on Friday. When all the dust clears, what will the trade make of them?
Well, it's hard to say. You know, you expect no real big news, you'll get it, and you expect something big, you won't. I think it's, you know, a juggling effect here of massaging the numbers somewhat. You know, the corn's got a lot of room to do nothing. And what I mean by that is you can lower harvested acres by 1, maybe even 1.5 million acres, but they're going to come back and raise yield a little bit. Then, too, the demand side, the miscellaneous category on feed demand, they've got some cushion there. But the bottom line is they're going to keep ending stocks relatively tight on corn, pipeline supplies. When you look at the bean sector, there's room to see the ending stocks increase just a tad bit. I don't know if we'll see a whole lot of change in the world numbers, such as the southern hemisphere on beans, but we'll let the market digest it. You know, it seemed more of a little calmer atmosphere than what we've seen from last summer, where we saw some strong, almost limit moves. We've got to remember, we saw the reports start trading or come out during the trade.
Right.
And what we saw was these so-called black boxes reading the headlines. And what they did is they would read yield, you know, yield real low, and boom, off they go, buy, 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 buy. But the next headline would say, well, carry out a little higher, and then sell, sell, sell. And I think they've got those systems a little bit more fine-tuned than they did this summer. They've got a little bit more filters in there. So I think the volatile trade that we've seen in the past from these crop reports coming out, it has been going to be a little bit more managed than what it was last summer.
Does it change at all, though, that it is at 11 a.m. When the reports are released and you have a compressed time between 11 and the markets close at 2?
Well, that's a good question. It might put a little bit more urgency to get your business done in a little bit of a shorter trading period. I would say if there is a surprise, it could make a little bit more volatile. At this point in time, I think everybody's pretty well where they want to be. We've seen the funds exit. They'll probably continue to exit. The end user's fairly well covered here. You talk to actual buyers, they're pretty well comfortable right now. So it would take some pretty good news in here to get the market excited either way.
Well, I do know in the 5 of the last 6 years, I think we had a limit move in corn.
Well, anything can happen.
Yeah.
When you think something's not going to happen, it will. Anything's possible. That's why one should have some type of plan going into these reports. Some orders to sell, limit up if you need to sell, or if you're short and got a hedge on, have a little call protection or something, kind of manage the position and don't get spooked out. Because when you have these limit moves and volatile moves, it makes it a little bit more stressful and hectic, and I've seen a lot of guys get out at the extremes, whereas they had a cover position or try to manage that position a little bit more, it turns out a little bit better in the long run.
Before we let you go, talk a little bit about the December 13 corn contract and what you would do from a hedging standpoint with that kind of a number.
Well, I was sold on the high, which it would be kind of tough to do when we were back there at those levels from the point that everybody thought we could go a little higher. Mm-hmm. But from a producer hedge point of view, we've got a hook reversal today. If we keep building the momentum here, we should be able to get a 50% retracement from this down move we saw from first part of December until today, which would put the market in a position to see these 13 futures get back to this 608, 610 level. And as producer at that point, I would look at that as a short-term goal that's obtainable and use that as a benchmark to get some marketing in place for this 2013 corn production day.
Thank you, Kurt. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois.